Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Whether you've been using social media for a year or for 20 years, you've probably noticed the landscape is rapidly changing. With us to talk about the best ways to navigate all of this, and it's sometimes very confusing, here is digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. You've been doing this for a long time. You've seen these changes up close and personal. It is a pretty unique view you have, isn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. It's definitely unique, and I am amazed that as I look back at over 20 years, that I've seen some really big changes, but we're also seeing some huge changes right now.
What to you stands out as some of the biggest changes in social media over the years?
I could talk to you about this for hours, Bob, but we can start with Facebook as an example, okay? So Facebook started in 2004 as a platform just for students at Harvard University. Then it shifted to a public platform where people started sharing their lives, their opinions, and content with a much broader audience. That blurred the lines between public and private life. Then they launched the news feed, so then you weren't visiting individual profiles as much as you were seeing a stream of updates from your friends, and then you started to follow pages, and that made the platform more engaging and, I guess you can say, dynamic. And then came all the targeted advertising and the sponsored content, and then concerns over data and privacy, and now you've got misinformation and disinformation and phishing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe only 20 years. It's gone from, as you say, something only for college students to something known and used around the world.
A time traveler would never be able to believe what has transpired over this relatively short period of time.
Yeah, and that's just Facebook.
Exactly. You could do the same thing for other platforms. Many would argue that Twitter's story, which is a bit shorter in years than Facebook's, was even more shocking.
And Twitter is pretty much gone, though. There's a distinction.
Yeah, there is. But you could say the same thing about Facebook. I mean, both are basically unrecognizable, although Twitter has a new name. But what it does show is the magnitude of the changes across the entire social media spectrum.
You know, when I'm on Facebook, I'm still confused about a lot of things. For example, you can choose reels or stories when you go to the page, and I'm not sure I understand the difference.
What is so fascinating about that is reels or videos, stories or posts that only last for 24 hours. That's the distinction between the two. But those are features that started on Instagram. And because Instagram and Facebook are so blurred, there is this common belief that everybody knows how to use every feature, which gets back to your point. It's a lot more confusing than it seems.
Okay, I think I get it. All right, we'll talk more about all this, and we'll open up the Genius Bar. Questions for digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg coming right up. We were talking about the spectrum, Scott. Let's talk more about that. That's an interesting word in the context of our conversation here today.
Yeah, definitely. Changes in social media habits come from changes in the way the platforms operate, right? So going back to the Facebook example, if it changes, we have to adapt, but habits really fascinate me after all this time. We went from using text pretty much only to embracing photos and videos so much that different platforms specifically devoted to those things entered the conversation. Instagram and now TikTok.
And those are big players. It's almost hard to even imagine a social media world without discussing their impacts, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And you know what? As a society, I mean, we always adapt. Social media is not the only thing that has changed over 20 years, but it's one of the most noticeable things because in so many ways, social media ties us together. Whether we like it or not, it just does. Whether we choose to use it to share photos of our family or decide who to vote for.
And this is where we circle back to where we started, and that is navigating the confusing roads, and they are confusing, and they seem to get more confusing every day, don't they?
They really do. And the way things are now, you know, you have plenty of choices, but you have more choices than ever. You can use, you know, you can go wherever your friends are. And you, if you like the content on TikTok or from a specific person on Instagram, you have the freedom to use both.
Now, when it comes to business owners navigating social media, that's not as easy, is it?
Unfortunately, it never is, because businesses will always have to be tied to strategy and audience. Why are you using social media? Who do you want to reach and where are your customers, right? That's the difference between, let's say, an ice cream shop saying, I'm only going to use TikTok, and an ice cream shop saying, I want to reach a certain subset of people with paid ads across Meta's social media platforms. You could certainly create a certain niche on a platform to entice people to follow you there, but that's the difference between leading and following, and there's room for both.
Which leads into a larger conversation about social media strategy, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to talk about, and something I'm sure we'll address soon in some form.
Yeah. So where do you think we're heading? Do we have any insight into the next 20 years? Things happen so fast, faster than ever.
Oh, boy. And just when I think I can answer that question with some degree of certainty, Bob, something changes. And, of course, it's impossible to have that kind of clear crystal ball. But one thing that I don't think will ever change is the need for freedom of choice. So take TikTok. It's very popular. Instagram is very popular. X is being chided for what's happened to it since Twitter went away. Facebook isn't really embraced by younger generations. LinkedIn is a work and business-focused platform for networking and conversation. All that means is that there's no wrong place to be. And I've even seen apps appear that want to become their own niche social media platform to talk about specific subjects like food and travel. And then you'll get people asking, why? Why would I want to use a dedicated app when I can put all my stuff on a bigger platform?
Well, why would you?
I think the answer is because you can. And to me, that's the foundation for the next 20 years, right? No matter how a platform changes, it's always going to be users who decide where we go next. So even if the government decides for us about what the future of TikTok holds, the most interesting thing will be to watch what user habits end up being. There's technology to think about. Of course, artificial intelligence will play a huge role into where we go. And remember, social media through the virtual reality headset that we're all going to be wearing in a few years is going to be very different than social media on our phones.
Scott, I don't know how you keep up with everything. So many things to consider.
So many and lots to keep track of, yes.
Let's open up the Genius Bar now. Question from the text line for you, Scott. I am wondering if, in one of your segments on cybersecurity, if you could ask the question about whether portals for medical advice are any less secure or more vulnerable to being hacked. I think the portals are very convenient for all involved, but I don't use them. I fear they seem more vulnerable. What's the word on that?
I think that is an excellent question, and I've heard plenty of people say that they will steer away from anything to do with sharing medical records or medical advice or anything personal like that on an online platform. I don't think that they're any less secure. Are they more vulnerable? I think there's always people out there that are looking for the most vulnerable people. But the one good thing about a patient portal is that the only one you should ever use is the one that comes through your insurance company or your doctor's office. I would steer clear of anything out there that aren't tied to those things. And if you want more information about the security and the encryption, about how those particular companies are storing your data, that's something you can ask them, and they can send you information. So there's information out there about it, but vulnerable is the right word. I think people are always looking for that in, so it's got to be more thinking about security than thinking about convenience.
Good to be aware of all that. Scott Kleinberg, you notice we call it the Genius Bar, not the Geek Squad. Just wanted to point that out this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care, Mom.